All right, everybody, welcome to the Steers Real Estate Podcast. My name is Matt Seifer. I am the director of the Steer Center for Global Real Estate here at Georgetown McDonough. And we're very fortunate today to have Elizabeth Shia with us today as our guest. And Elizabeth is a second-year MBA student and recently came off of her summer internship and has a lot to talk about as it relates to her process of picking Georgetown and her first-year experience. And then ultimately, what we really want to focus on here is, how did she get the summer internship? So, Elizabeth, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you making the time.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. So let's get started. Where are you from?
I am from Baltimore, born and raised, and couldn't be prouder of it.
Okay. As you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, so we have a certain animosity towards each other. We both won in week one, though, so we will have issues. I don't know if you follow football or all, but the Ravens did win, as did the Steelers.
I do not. That's exciting.
So you're from Baltimore. Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Johns Hopkins, so stayed in Baltimore for
sure
that.
Sure did. You know, what was your major? Where'd you go to, you know, what'd you do after college?
Yes. So at Hopkins, I majored in public health with a minor in entrepreneurship and management. And then I actually stayed at Hopkins for a master's in mental health. So stayed in Baltimore as long
okay.
as possible.
Well, I love it. And you came all the way to DC. But so that's a great academic pedigree and background. It has nothing to do with real estate. So talk to me about what job did you have out of college and what were those jobs looking like sort of as you left college and entered sort of, you know, formal adulthood?
Yeah, absolutely. So after college, I entered the tech world. My goal was to one day combine tech and healthcare, however that might look. But over the years, the longer I spent in tech, I realized this is a great industry, just maybe not for me. So then within COVID, I thought, okay, what do I want to do here? What are my long-term goals? And I wanted to be able to affect people's lives in some way and realize what are some other ways you can do that. And to me, that was real estate. So decided to pursue that and make that kind of scary career switch.
So how did you come to the realization that it was real estate? Like, you're just sitting around thinking about, what am I going to do with my life? I like what I do, but I don't like it as much as I would hope to. Like, what was your earliest sort of inclination that, you know, real estate was something that could be a career path for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I liked the idea of kind of building something that might improve a community or a life in a way, big or small. That's kind of what drew me to tech in the first place, was you're building these products, right? But I wanted to build something a little bigger than that, something that's kind of in the built environment around all of us, whether we're passively or actively interacting with it. So that's kind of where I started to think, what does that? And being born and raised in Baltimore, I started to think about what really had affected my life over the years that I was there. And I realized the way the city had developed over the years really created these experiences for me as I got older that wouldn't have happened without the city being further developed and kind of being improved and grown that way.
And so what were your early sort of explorations in real estate? I mean, clearly you don't, you know, press a button and you're in graduate school. So how did you sort of test the water a little bit as it relates to that interest? Was it authentic or was it just sort of, I don't know what I want to do and this is interesting as of right now?
Yeah, so I at first kind of had this romantic idea of building up cities. Yep. And then I thought, okay, what does any of this mean? What is real estate? I look at a really cool building and I have no idea how it got here, what goes into it. So while I was still at my previous job, I was first exploring this and I just went on LinkedIn and typed in keywords, real estate, development, whatever it was. And started cold messaging people on LinkedIn. And I said, what is your job? Hmm. What do you do day to day? What does any of this look like? And was able to learn more that way. Started watching YouTube videos on what all of this meant and realized, okay, there's this really cool idea of building up cities. And then the actual day to day work is really in line with what I like to.
So what was, that's interesting. And I'd not heard that example that you gave about cold emailing people, but was there one piece of advice that you got that was, you know, particularly impactful to your decision-making process or one, you know, conversation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I wouldn't say just one conversation. It was probably just the combination of all of them. And it was cool to see what actually people were doing day to day in terms of the technical skills they needed, but also the relationship building and management that goes into it and how it's, you're working with communities, right, to improve the communities and can bring your kind of technical skills in to do that and improve people's lives, really. So being able to speak with people who worked on projects that really built up communities and did change people's lives was really inspirational to me, and made it more real hearing about what actually goes into it day to day to create this amazing thing.
So do you think at that stage it was like, I love development, I want to do development, right? Because everything you're describing is very development oriented, or at least sort of redevelopment oriented. Is that, was that accurate then? And has that interest persisted through to where you are today?
Definitely. That was accurate then. That's what got me interested in the first place. That's where I stand today as well. And kind of through that, I really liked the finance side of it as well. But that was the exciting part to me and is what still excites me today.
Okay, so we get all that. So I love that background. So help me think about what thought process you went through to pick a graduate school. And did you think about sort of specialized master's degrees? Did you think about an MBA? What was the general thought process that you went through on how to go to graduate school for this?
Yeah, so I thought about everything I could do. I thought, all right, maybe I don't go back to school. I just go as a part-time intern. Anyone who will hire me with zero experience, zero connections, do I do that? Do I do a part-time thing while I work? Do I do, like you said, specialized master's? I looked at everything. I had a whole chart of the pros and cons of each option and ended up going with the MBA because I thought it would just make me a little more well-rounded as a business person at large, both for real estate and outside of it, just general business. And I thought that would be really helpful in making me better in whatever role I end up in within real estate and would give me those skills to be a leader that I would need. And like I said, just a well-rounded business person at large.
Well, and just given your background academically, at least you probably were pretty thin in college on business classes or devoid entirely. So that this was sort of helping to fix that a little bit.
Exactly. I needed those finance classes, those accounting classes, which were absolutely instrumental. Learning those the second we got here the first year and being in those core classes was incredibly helpful in understanding what we're talking about, being able to speak the language to people, whether it was just a networking call or a coffee chat. Those classes were huge in making me smarter that way.
Okay, so let me ask you this. There's probably somebody out there saying, I'm a career switcher. I don't have any finance or business in my background. I'm scared to death of these classes. So how did that experience suit you, that sort of, as a non-business major coming into MBA level finance courses and sort of business courses generally?
Well, what's great is the school will send us these kind of free class courses, if that makes sense, to complete over the summer that will prep you for what's going to happen for those classes once you get there first semester. And I found that the professors really tailored the classes towards people who had never taken the course before. So it's really great if you are a career switcher. It really is a level one class. They go through everything with you and they're so open to office hours and questions to make sure you're fully understanding the topics.
What was the process in terms of selection of an actual school and a program? What were the criteria that were important to you?
The first thing I looked at was what do the real estate programs look like and their centers look like? Because I wasn't coming back to my MBA to figure out what I want to do with my life. I had a very clear goal and I needed to figure out what's the best way to go about that goal and accomplish that. So the Steer Center stood out a lot. There were a lot of people talking about it who I would reach out to and just clearly has a lot of great programs, a lot of great people who come out of the program. So that was huge, just reading about it. And then when I actually got down to the nitty gritty, okay, what does Georgetown as a whole have to offer, and started speaking with students, everyone spoke so highly of the Steer Center. And then even beyond that, all of the students I spoke to were incredibly welcoming, incredibly warm, wanted to share their knowledge and welcome you into everything they knew. So the people on that end too were really, really helpful. So it was great.
So you came and we're thankful you were here. I still remember the first conversation you and I had on the phone. I think I was driving back from getting my first COVID vaccine, believe it or not. But what was your first year like? I mean, if you could sort of summarize that experience, both generally and as it pertains to real estate.
Yes. So I dove right into my first year. I got to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, which was awesome, both in and out of the real estate end of that. And really my first year, especially the beginning of it, was classes and GRES, the Georgetown Real Estate Society, all of the events that they put on, the networking events, the educational events, and then also just a lot of networking. I don't even know how many people I spoke to every single day. I just tried to talk to as many people as possible. So it was a lot of those things, a lot of events, classes, and just getting to know more people. And as we got through our core classes, the first semester where you really build that foundation, it was great going into those more real estate elective courses that I could speak to very clearly in my interviews for the internships, and got to get like real world experience on real world cases.
So let's pivot to your internship search. Obviously, that summer internships are really critical time for MBA students, and especially for a career switcher like yourself. You got to get as much experience as you can. So talk to us about how you thought about that process of getting the internship. Did you know kind of a small list of companies you were focused on? I mean, walk us through how you thought about that internship and what was your process?
So coming into it from the very beginning, let's call it end of summer, beginning of fall, I didn't know all of the major real estate firms, anything like that. So I just started Googling the big firms in different cities I'd be interested in, and looked at the work that they did. And rather than waiting for them to post job postings on any job boards or anything like that, I just started reaching out to people, seeing if there were any connections I had, just to learn more about the company, see if it would be a good fit for me, if I might be a good fit for them, and what it looks like working there, what does their work look like, and just started building those connections early on. So I think when it came to actual application time, there were some companies I'd be talking to who didn't even have an official job posting and say, oh, well, if you send me your resume, maybe we can pass it around and things like that. So a lot of it was through getting to know those people far in advance of any official job postings.
And my view, and I've said it a bunch, is the best way to network is when you're not asking anybody for anything. You're just authentically looking for their feedback and thoughts. So I think that's really smart. So then zero us in a little bit. So where you obviously interned this summer for Tishman Speyer. Talk to us about how that opportunity arose and how you thought through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So similarly to the other all firms that I was just interested in, I'd reached out to Tishman Speyer pretty early on, spoke to them a couple times, and just learned more about what they did, tried to learn from the people who worked there as much as possible, just to get smarter on everything real estate. And so when it came down to kind of application time, I'd already spoken to a bunch of people at the firm and learned more and was able to speak directly to the work that they do and why I find it so interesting. And so their whole interview process went by, and I was very fortunate to be given an offer there and did accept that, and was placed on their new business and investments team, where I got to really explore what do new asset classes look like for this company, what looks like a good investment for this firm, like at large, and also specifically with core competencies of Tishman Speyer, and what do those business plans look like.
So let's talk about the interview process a little bit, right? Because everybody is sort of worried or sort of nervous about, you know, what's the interview process like? So maybe talk about what and how you prepared for the interview process, and talk to me about maybe what kind of questions they asked, stylistically, how the interview was. I mean, what should a incoming first year or a current first year student be thinking about as it relates to the interview process, you know, at least with Tishman?
Yeah, definitely. So I think I studied harder, prepped more for those interviews than I have for any test ever. I was definitely trying to inundate myself with as much information as possible just on real estate, like recent news, just understanding all of the metrics that matter, all of the technical skills that I need, a lot of modeling practice. So when you go into it first, they kind of ask you a mix of behavioral questions, kind of, have you ever worked with someone difficult on a team? I don't know if that was a specific question they asked, but along those same lines, you'd get anywhere. And then also the specific real estate ones. Tell me about a sector you find interesting right now. If you had this amount of money, where would you invest it and why? So I really prepped for those questions, the kind of typical real estate questions, by speaking to different experts in the industry. How would you answer these? And just the more conversations I had, the more I learned about what's happening in the industry and could speak to it in the interviews and show that I've been doing my research and that I'm really interested in this. So I was always listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos from one YouTube channel, Break Into CRE. There's also the Adventures in CRE website that has tons of resources. So just subscribing to as many newsletters and podcasts, YouTube channels as possible, even in the background, just to kind of absorb the information.
So did they give you a modeling test in your interview process?
Yes, there was a modeling test. For that, I did the Adventures in CRE course. They have a modeling package that's really helpful. And also we did modeling practice through GRES and then also through the clinics with the classes at school through STEERS. So those were all really helpful for the modeling test. It was, I can't remember how many hours I had to do it, just I think a few hours and just standard modeling test. But that's definitely, I think, a very important part for them so that they can tell, are you going to, do we have to teach you how to do this from scratch or are you going to hit the ground running if we ask you to build a model?
So as, again, somebody from a career switch perspective that I'm assuming didn't have a whole lot of Excel experience in your background, you felt prepared for that test going into the interviews?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I took courses for how to prep for those. And also I did about a million practice tests, just prepping as much as possible. That they all look different. Every practice test I took looked different. So just any, I was prepared for whatever they were going to send my way. I took that really seriously because I knew how important it would be.
Did anybody ask you any technicals in the interview process? Like what would, if so, what's an example of a technical question? We get the, if you had $100 million, say, where would you put it? But anybody say like, what's a cap rate kind of thing?
So there wasn't as much kind of quizzing, like, what is this? What is that? But they would use those technical terms, cap rate, IRR, equity multiple, just within a question in the interview. So knowing that was really important. Yep. And especially going over the modeling test, if you pass the modeling test, then there's an interview after that where you're walking them through your model. And they'll say, how did you arrive at this IRR? You have to really know the numbers that went into it and how you built it and why you built it that way.
Love it. So, you know, congratulations, of course, on having the summer internship. So maybe talk about your experience there this summer.
Yeah. So I was on the new business investments and strategy team. They essentially, the way they do it, it's a leadership development program. And they assign you to a team that really has a need for someone over the summer that also aligns with what your interests are that you'll let them know about. So I got to work on new strategy and did a lot of financial modeling to kind of analyze different opportunities in different sectors and also learned, got really, I like to think, got good at writing investment memos and really understanding how to analyze a deal in a sector at large and what are the important questions to ask was something I learned a lot this summer and what do we not really care about.
Well, and so I love that because knowing what to focus on and what not to is of critical import. So talk to me about, like, I would assume you thought you had a good summer. I certainly hope they think you do or you did as well. But can you talk about the intangibles of that experience that you maybe did behaviorally while you were there that you thought was helpful in that process? So obviously you were working there. I think you were in person.
Yes.
But did you have coffee chats with everybody you could get your hands on? I mean, what were the intangibles that you did that you thought were valuable to the process?
Yeah, so I would say the coffee chats were key. There's only so much you can do really in 10 weeks, so much you can learn, right. So much value you can add, right? So being able to just take advantage of those 10 weeks and all the brilliant people you're surrounded by, I think I ended up having coffee with 30 people over those 10 weeks. And I really took advantage of that. And I just in those coffee chats casually would be able to figure out, like, learn from the person I was talking to help me do better on the project I was working on at the internship and get their input. And it was really, really helpful in making my memo better or helping me with my model and realized a lot through those coffee chats. So one, learned for myself, but then also they helped me on the projects I was working on, people on different teams. So I think I met with someone on pretty much every team in the New York office, close to it, if not every team. And then what's really great that Tishman Speyer does in the leadership development program is they set up lunches with all of senior management. So we had lunch with Rob Speyer, who's the CEO, and his father, Jerry Speyer, who started the company, and just everyone else as well. So that was really, really beneficial as well. So I think taking that initiative to reach out to people really helped me over the summer. And then also I raised my hand every time I wanted to learn something new. So I was really strategy facing. And there were times where I said, I want to work with an actual asset. And I raised my hand and they immediately put me on two new projects the next morning that were more asset facing. So
That's fantastic. Well, what, again, this is maybe targeted towards either somebody contemplating an MBA or somebody that's in first year, but generally speaking, what sort of pieces of advice do you think, I've always said it like this, you know, what do you wish somebody would have told you prior to starting your MBA or maybe in your first year that you had to maybe learn the hard way that you found to be really valuable?
I think starting early is definitely good because there are certain concepts within finance and real estate that I was trying to figure out right before my interviews. And then I would kind of fake it in the interviews or just know as much as I just needed to. And then a couple months down the line, it finally kind of clicked in my head of what it all meant. And I thought, hey, that would have been a lot better had I known that a couple months ago, or now it finally makes sense. So I think just starting early, even if it's just passive learning, is really, really helpful because it's not rocket science, but it's right. Not just ABC, right? You need to learn it. So I think that is really helpful starting early.
Well, and if I could interrupt, I mean, you know, giving yourself some credit to the fact that it just takes some time and repetition sometimes for things to really take root from an understanding perspective and comprehension. So I mean, give yourself some credit that you know, I mean, that's the learning process. But what has been the best part of your MBA at Georgetown so far?
Yeah, so I would say this is kind of, I think this is an answer people give pretty frequently, but the people have been amazing. Both the current students, the staff and faculty, and the alumni has been really above and beyond what I was expecting. It's really amazing to see the way the students help each other. I mean, one great example of this is one of the other MBA students who's my year. He was applying to his dream internship last year, and he thought this would be a really great fit for Elizabeth and was pressing me to apply to it, even though he was applying to it as well. Wow. So it's so cool. Like, we would have been direct competition, and I was kind of getting closer to the deadline. He was checking in, have you applied? I think you would really like it, even though he wanted it. So that's such a cool thing to see. It's everyone wants each other to succeed, and you see the same thing with the faculty and staff. They make the time to really help each student succeed. And so do the alums. You think the alums have kind of moved on with their lives, but they really want the current students to succeed. And they just want Steers and Georgetown alums and people to succeed. So it's this great camaraderie and kind of family feel that was really awesome to see. I was expecting it to be a little more cutthroat and competitive. And I think everyone is just confident in their own abilities and wants each other to succeed. There's no putting other people down to put yourself up. So,
well, I love that. And I think to the man and woman at Georgetown, that's a very consistent quality, having been here for 10 years. But we certainly appreciate the time. We have Elizabeth Shia here from Georgetown University. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I thought this was a great experience. And hopefully anybody who's listening found it helpful. I certainly know I did. And we're very proud of what you've done and what you will continue to do throughout your time here at Georgetown, but most importantly afterwards. So we appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
We will look forward to the next edition of the Steers Real Estate Podcast. We appreciate you joining. Thank you very much.